Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We just had a power hour with Lisa Bevere. Always love having her on the show. If you missed it, you got to go back and catch the podcast. Share it with your friends. It will stoke your faith like you won't believe. Looking so forward to this hour as well. I'll be talking to Carrie and Chris Shook. They've got a brand new book out that is just making my heart beat faster. Just speak in my language. It's called Be the Message, Taking Your Faith Beyond Words to a Life of Action. So excited to have both of them on the show. We've got a few copies to give away, so you get to chime into the conversation whenever you're ready. If you've got questions or you just even have a comment about where we're going in the conversation, here's the number, 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guests, and we'll get this conversation started. Carrie and Chris Shook founded Woodlands Church in Texas in 1993. Today, the church has over 18,000 people attending and is recognized for its ministries to the poor and powerless. Thousands of people in over 200 countries tune in weekly to Pastor Carrie's televised broadcasts. And the Shook's first book, One Month to Live, is a New York Times bestseller. Carrie and Chris have been married 30 years and have four grown children. You can learn more about them on the web at carrieshook.com. Chris and Carrie, welcome to the program today.
Great to be with you, Susie.
Good to be with
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Susie. We're excited to talk to you.
Absolutely. And I'm so excited to talk with you. Well, we love to start out all of our conversations talking scripture. And Chris, I'll start with you. Is there either a life verse you'd like to share or a verse that's been on your heart these days?
Well, Ephesians 3:20 has always meant so much to me and continues to really be a life verse. Just that, speaking of how God is able and willing and ready and eager even to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or dream of.
So we'll talk about what that verse means to you.
Well, to me, it makes me remember that what God does through me in my life isn't limited by my own shortcomings, by my own failures, by my own mess, but that He's the one who's able to do whatever He wants to in my life because of His incredible power. And so to me, it's just something that's it's comforting, but it's also encouraging, and it helps me to step out and take risks, knowing that He's the one that's going to take care of things.
So before I get to Carrie, Chris, I just want to know, because you guys are part of such a big ministry and you take your faith very seriously, how is that passage? That's one of my life passages as well, Ephesians 3:20-21. But how has that impacted your prayers? Because it really does compel us to look up when you consider what God wants to do and is able to do.
Oh, it does. It makes me realize that my front windshield should be so much bigger than my rearview mirror, that I can look forward. As you said, that I can, I love how you talk about living the promise, and I can truly live out His promises. It's not just words that I read, but I can step into that and live that out in my life because God is able, because He's able to do it. He enables me to be able to take risks, to step out, to look forward instead of backward, and to believe that my life really can make a difference. Your life really can make an eternal difference. An eternal legacy can be left by the choices that we make.
And that is so why we're here. I love it. Carrie, how about you? Is there a verse, either a life verse or verse that's just been jumping off the page at you these days?
Well, one that has been really jumping off the page to me, Susie, recently is one we're all familiar with, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And I think the reason why God's really been putting that on my heart recently is because, we talk real honestly in the book about how we feel many times insecure, powerless, unloving, and undisciplined. And there's so many times I feel that way, but my feelings don't have anything to do with it. It's the facts of God's promise. And so whenever I feel inadequate, whenever I feel insecure, whenever I feel undisciplined and powerless, I just claim this passage and this promise that I have the Spirit of the living God living inside me. And so I have a spirit of power and love and self-discipline, and that's the truth. And many times we feel the opposite. I feel inadequate every day to lead the church. I always tell the people I've never led a church this size before, because God keeps growing the church and keeps getting larger, and the ministries to the poor and all the things that keep going on. We keep stepping out in faith, and every time I feel like, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but you'll be my wisdom, you'll be my strength, you'll be my power, you'll be my love and discipline, because you live inside me. And so that allows me to live that truth when I keep remembering that promise.
Boy, that is such a great passage, Carrie. And thinking about that, I did a little bit of a word study on that passage. And you think about how many things don't happen in Jesus' name because of our own fear and self-preservation. And when you think of power, love, and sound mind, that our lives would be marked with the power of God, that we would be able to love in an otherworldly way and enter into suffering that is not our own, and that we would have a measure of a restraint in our life in a culture of indulgence because of the Spirit of God in us. I mean, just that passage in itself can radically change our lives if we take it serious, don't you think?
Oh, totally. And, you know, that one verse is a sermon series.
Amen. Yeah.
Each, you know, every, you know, word study and a whole series, because, you know, we really need to dig into these promises of God to realize them and let them come to fruition in our lives.
Well, I'm going to direct this next question to you, Carrie, and then Chris, I would love for you to chime in as well. But you open your book with the same words I actually heard a dear friend of mine say recently, and this dear friend is a wholehearted, sincere follower of Christ, and she said exactly the same statement that you opened your book with. And here's what you opened your book with. I'm sick of sermons. I'm tired of talking about God. I'm tired of hearing about God. Now, that may seem strange to you. After all, I'm a pastor. And she would say, now, that may seem strange to you. After all, I'm a worship leader. But I want you to say more, and then, Chris, I'll have you chime in.
Right. Yeah, we just really shared from our heart. And, again, you know, we love the Word of God, and I am called to teach the Word of God, and God has given me a calling that I cherish and value. But I noticed that I was preaching a new message every week and leading Bible studies, constantly teaching, and in doing all that, there were times when I wasn't really experiencing God the way I should. You know, I found myself talking so much about God that I wasn't walking with Him as closely as I really longed to be. And so it really came out of a holy discontent in Chris's life and in my life to really seek to live the sermons and experience Christ. Because I think we take Christianity and we turn it into sermons and Bible studies and even slogans and sound bites. And Christianity is not another sermon. It's a relationship with the Savior. And we've got to get back to what it's all about. It's not a bunch of words. It's a relationship with the Word, Jesus Christ.
Indeed. And Chris, I wonder for you, as you kind of came to the realization, I am feeling tired about all of all this stuff. When you're in the position that you are, I think it's a pretty gutsy admonition, let's say. But when you first sort of came to the edges of it, did it kind of scare you? Did you wonder, is this a sign of burnout? Is this, you know, here I am in this position feeling this way. Did that initial thought scare you at all?
Well, I'd say that it was unsettling. Hmm. It's an unsettling feeling. I don't know if fear is exactly the right word, but just an unsettling feeling in our spirits that while we spend so much of our time talking about God, that are we really spending our time the way God wants us to? Are we taking time to listen? You know, are we just going, you know, a lot of times we feel like, you know what, God just wants us to stop talking, just shut up and listen. Listen to Him. Listen to His divine whisper to us. You know, listen for what He wants to tell us, and to look and really open our eyes and see what's next. And so, you know, we obviously are passionate about what goes on in God's church, and that's church with a big C, and the church around the world, what God is doing through His church. But yet, the church is His people. It's not a building. And we have to individually take the time to listen to Him and look at the people standing right in front of us and seeing what it is that He's telling us we need to do in the moment. And it can't all be planned out in series and programs, but it has to be listened to and lived for moment by moment.
So you're saying, which I 100% agree with, that we have to make room in our lives to listen and respond to the nudge of the Holy Spirit within us. We can't program everything. I mean, there's a place for structure, of course, but we've got to almost create a lifestyle of expectancy so we can respond to Him, right?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right.
I think you put it really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the statements you make, I'll direct this towards Chris, it says, you can do more than nothing. Say more about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that really came out of so many times we would see big needs, see things that, you know, we can make a difference in. And it's so easy for me anyway to become overwhelmed, whether it's a situation in my community that just seems overwhelming. I think, what, you know, how can I make a difference? Or maybe some type of worldwide disaster that's taken place somewhere, and we see the scenes and think, you know, I can't do anything. After the big earthquake in Haiti in 2010, Carrie and I, as with most of the world, saw the images flooding in of the devastation. And, you know, we just, you know, you see that this country that's the poorest in the Western Hemisphere now has so much just heartache. Just the burden is just incredible, and more than you can bear. But yet you look at the pictures and think, but what can I do? And it may be even that you see something in your neighbor's life, and it seems like they have they're having big marital problems and family issues, and you think, what difference can I make? And in all of these situations, I think the common thread is that it's so easy to feel like we can't make a difference, and therefore we do nothing. Mm-hmm. And we believe that what God is saying to us is that, yes, you can do more than nothing. And nothing isn't the answer. Our response when we encounter pain in the world, and when God allows us to step into that, isn't to do nothing because we feel overwhelmed, but to just ask Him and say, okay, God, for some reason you've put this on my heart. For some reason I am living next door to this person, or you have put this coworker in my life, or you have allowed these images and the story of something going on in another place to really pierce my soul. And so, okay, God, I'm going to agree with you from the start that you want to do more than nothing through me. And so I'm going to listen to you to find out what the next step should be.
Say that to yourself. I can do more than nothing. Tell yourself that, and then open your hands, open your heart, see what God would have you do, because there are needs all around us. Talking to Carrie and Chris Shook today, they've got a brand new book out. It's really fabulous. It's titled Be the Message, Taking Your Faith Beyond Words to a Life of Action. Hardcover book. We've got a few copies to give away. We'd love to know how maybe God is using you to be the message, or maybe if you've got a question for our guests, now's the time. Pick up the phone, 877-933-2484. They've got some great Be the Message statements. This next one we're going to unpack is, I want to talk about God less and walk with God more. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I think that when we live the message, that our faith is so intertwined with the way that we act and how we treat people, that even if we don't necessarily deliver a gospel message, they're able to see through the way that we live who we are and what we believe.
What does your life say about who you are and what you believe? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, Hour 2, talking to Carrie and Chris Shook about their brand new book, Be the Message, Taking Your Faith Beyond Words to a Life of Action, putting feet to your faith. That's what it's about. And there are many Be the Message statements in this book. We're going to tackle a few of them. And Carrie, if we could talk about this one. I want to talk about God less and walk with God more. Say more about that.
Yes, I just think that most of the stress in our lives, Susie, is caused by what we call the great disconnect, that gap between what we say we really believe deep in our hearts and then how we really live. For example, we'll say, my health is important, but we don't always eat right or exercise. Or we say that family is most important, but many times the things that we see as urgent crowd out that relationship time. Or we say God's first, and then we rush into our day and we don't even give him 10, 15 minutes, you know, in his word. And so there's this disconnect between what we say we really believe, our deepest values, and then our daily actions. And so the goal and what we write about in the book is the journey we're on of how God's helping us reduce that stress gap between our core values, our deepest beliefs, and our daily actions. Because if it doesn't come out in a daily action, then it doesn't change your life. And that's the real emptiness, that real unsettling, I think, that a lot of Christ followers feel, is that we get caught up in daily actions that don't have anything to do with our deepest beliefs. And God wants us to live out our true, authentic lives by living his word, by being the message. And I would say, Susie, that, you know, the world is tired of just being preached at, just having a sermon preached at them, but they want to see a sermon lived out in front of them. And so our goal is really to, you know, Bible teaching and Bible study is so important. And then we need to put it into our lives, let it soak into our hearts, and then live the sermons, because that's when they come alive.
You know, Carrie, when, as you're talking, I'm thinking about when we go to a funeral where somebody's life is deeply celebrated, usually that's the case because they live their convictions. You know, usually I'd say funerals are very sad when there was a major disconnect that never was reconciled, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we admire that so much. It's winsome, and we're drawn to that. Someone who's authentic, and of course Jesus Christ is our great example, you know, of living the message. But here's the great news. We have Christ in our lives, and so the message that we live is his life. But unfortunately, that's not always the message that I put out, you know, and every day we're really expressing messages with every action, every decision we make. Our life shouts. Our life really speaks, even without saying a word. And people pick up on those messages, that's for sure.
Indeed. Well, Chris, at the end of each chapter, and you referenced Divine Whisper, but there's two application sections. The Divine Whisper, and I love this, love the one in front of you. Talk about those two aspects of each chapter and how even they can just sort of change our lives. We're just little at a time. We make room to hear from the Lord and make room in our lives to love the one in front of us.
Exactly. We found that those two things have made a huge difference in our personal lives, and that's the reason that at the end of every chapter, as you said in the book Be the Message, that we have these two short assignments, if you will, that are just a few short ideas of practical things, you know, ways that you can put these things into your own life. And so the Divine Whisper might have a verse or a prayer, something that you can read to yourself, or just some thoughts on how can you spend that time, a few moments to listen quietly, listen to what the Lord is saying to you, to that Divine Whisper. And then Love the One in Front of You is just that, ideas, new thoughts, and I'm sure that readers will come up with so many of their own as well, but this is just a little springboard to get people started thinking of ways that you can love that person in front of you, that you can intentionally engage with whoever it is that God's put in your path. He put you in the family you're in. He put you in that workplace you're in. He put you on the street that you live on. He planned all of this for a reason, and he's put those people in our lives. And we may be the only person that really looks for them, is really looking for a way to share God's love with them in a practical way. And so it's our hope that people around us, even if we didn't use words, that they would know that we're believers just because of the kind of compassion, the strength and quality of our purpose, and the way we want to love them the way Jesus loves them. Mm. So there's just a few ideas for ways that you can actively engage with the people around you to love them.
Love that. You know, Carrie, you have a very sweet and precious wife. Did you know that?
Oh, she's amazing. Yeah, she really does live the message. That's for
love
sure.
That. You know. Well, here's another Be the Message statement. Your image may communicate a brand, but your life shouts the real message. Boy, that is significant in this day of social media. Your image may communicate a brand, but your life shouts the real message. Carrie, talk more about that.
Well, I think that companies spend so much time today working on their brand, and people have a brand as well. And you know, you hear about celebrities always trying to protect their brand image, but really, every one of us, have a message. And a lot of times, we're working on our image. We're always thinking about our image and what people think of us, and we don't even realize the true message that we're sending out. You can say one thing, but people are going to look at how you live, and we can talk about Christ and how much we love him, but the real message is going to come through. Our actions really shout the message, and so the goal is to really try to walk the walk with God's power and God's strength, and it all comes down to Christ in us, shining through us. And we started, Susie, reading the Bible not just to get to know the Bible better. The Bible's the divinely inspired word of God, and it's life-changing, but, we used to read the Bible just to get to know the Bible better, but now we realize that the Bible is the Word, Jesus Christ, and so we read the Bible not to get to know the Bible better, but to get to know Jesus better and to conform to the image of Jesus Christ, to become more like Jesus, and the Bible is not written to increase our knowledge. It was written to change our lives, and that's why it's so important to study it. And we're not saying don't study God's Word, don't know God's Word, because, we have a lot of biblically illiterate Christ followers today. It's just that we have a lot of Christ followers who, we know the Bible, but we're not putting it into practice by letting it really be imprinted upon our hearts and come out in our lives. And so that's what's making us come alive. And we've got a long way to go. We certainly haven't arrived, but we share real honestly in the book our journey to really live this authentic gospel.
Indeed.
Let Jesus Christ live through us.
As you're talking, I'm thinking, Carrie, of Scripture, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And so people who maybe go after Scripture to become a Bible snob and there's no love coming from their life, then they're just noise, as Scripture says, But to live it is such a bigger deal,
Oh, great word, yeah.
Well, we just have a moment here before
that
we take
so
a break.
True.
Yeah, and Chris, would just like to direct this one at you. We've got probably about a minute before we take a break, so we can take it on the other side if we need to. But in this day of social media where words are abundant, I think of Scripture that talks about when many words are present, sin is not absent. And I'm sure you're just as grieved as I am about some of the debate that you see on Facebook and in Twitter from Christians defending their cause and what the outside world must think. Just say a word about your thoughts about that when you think about be the message versus, spew the message.
Oh, that is a great point, Susie. It is. It's such a temptation, I think, for many people to just, spit out, vomit up on their computer, type something out, their initial thoughts or commentary, and jump into the fray without really taking the time to step back and think, wait, is this something that I need to jump in and just start chatting back and forth with on the internet? Or is this something that God really wants me to actually, if it's something that God has placed as a strong belief in my life, that I need to do something about, that I need to actually start living this in my own life before I just throw a lot of words out there that are inflammatory. And as you said, make Christians appear to be, maybe disunified and not sharing that love, not sharing that message the way God wants us to.
Yep, there's definitely a different way we can go about this. Maybe we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. You're sure quiet today for a Monday. Want to hear from you. Chime into the conversation, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. More with Carrie and Chris Shook in just a moment.
Religion. I think to live the message means to let God have complete sovereignty in your life so that when you interact with a person, he has the ability to minister to them through you.
Well put, my friend. That was excellent. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a great conversation with Carrie and Chris Shook. Got a brand new book out titled Be the Message, Taking Your Faith Beyond Words to a Life of Action. And before the break, he's talking to Chris about the idea of social media and how Christians are engaging in debates on Facebook and Twitter and how the outside world is looking in. And I'm sure it's, you know, making the gospel seemed less interesting to them. And so another one of your Be the Message statements, Carrie, is before you open your mouth, and I would say even before you tweet and Facebook post, but your statement is before you open your mouth to speak, open your heart to care. I love it. Say more, Carrie, about that statement.
Yeah, I like the way you've added the tweets and the texts and everything. You're exactly right. You know, people need to see that we care, and they know if you care or not. And, you know, there's an old saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt about that. And you know, you think back at when you first came to Jesus Christ and how he, you know, began to change your life. And I think back, too, of when I was called to preach. And I was called to preach by Christ, you know, and I got into this because I love Jesus and wanted to let everybody know of what he had done in my life. And that's really what it gets back to. It's about loving Jesus and loving others. And it's letting the word, Jesus Christ, live in us and live through us. And people will listen to what we have to say if they know we care. You know, we can stay true to our core convictions and stay true to the word of God and yet really love people with all of our hearts. We don't have to, you know, a lot of people I see today, young people will say, well, you know, I mean, I can't be loving if I believe these things. And I say it's just the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, truth is loving, but they have to see the truth lived out in you by being honest and open. And I know for me, you know, one of the things that I struggled with for the first part of my ministry was not revealing any weaknesses or struggles or pain in my life, because I thought, you know, the message I need to portray is that everything's perfect. And that's just the opposite of what it is. The church is not a place for perfect people. The church is a place for people who know they're not perfect and are broken, but are looking to the perfect one, Jesus Christ. And so that's the message the world wants to hear.
You know, Carrie, I think we confuse too often the narrow mindset with the narrow path, you know, and because we are getting to be known for what we're against and for our shaking of our fists and pounding our fists. When you think about, I love what you said about reading scripture to get to know Jesus. I just said this at a speaking event the other day. You want a composite sketch of God, read scripture, and you're going to fall in love with him because he hates pride. He loves the humble. He loves the poor. Mm-hmm. He loves the broken. He loves us so much. He sent his son. I mean, if you could really just look at scripture for who he is, how could you not love him? And so people, I think what they're so turned off by is us equating it to a narrow mindset. The narrow path is there's only one way, and it's Jesus. There's no other option. But when you see who he is, it seems the whole world would want him. You know what I mean? Talk about that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, that's it. If we can just get back to showing people Jesus, you know, and letting Jesus shine through our lives. And we say in the book that you are the gospel because, you know, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and then the word Jesus Christ lives in us. And so the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, and we have the gospel in us. And so really the message is the gospel, that good news, the love of Jesus Christ. And the goal is for people to see Jesus in us. And to do that, we have to be honest and open about our struggles and weaknesses and how we turn to Jesus Christ and how he changes our lives. We have to stop pointing fingers at everyone and really just, you know, show them the love of Christ. Chris always calls it show and tell. You know, it's like when you're in kindergarten and you did show and tell, that we tell them, we use our words, but we have to also show them. And that's what we do in our missions ministry at Woodlands Church, is that we you know, always tell them, you know, we're always sharing the gospel, but we also want to show them so they can look and say, oh, so that's what Jesus is like.
And that's,
you know, they can get a little glimpse of Christ.
Yeah. No, please. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I was just so agreeing with you. Sorry about that.
No.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, you know, when the scripture gets in us and changes us, as Chris is saying, and you show and tell, nobody can really, people are intrigued by your own personal story. I once was lost and now I'm found. And it's like, as you said, when we start pointing our finger and say, you should, you ought, versus letting that word get in us and transform us, it seems the story, our own personal story, is so much more transformative to a lost world. And you wrote this in your book, and I'll go to you, Chris, first, and I'd love, Carrie, for you to speak to it as well, how this has played out in your own life, because you say living out the gospel in the world today is both simple and costly. Chris, talk about just unpack that statement, but I'd love for just even some personal examples of how God has maybe simplified the gospel, but also it's cost you and what you've seen, how you've seen God move in the midst of it all.
Well, you are exactly right. It is, it really does come down to our personal life stories, and that's so intriguing. And one thing that just really hit me about this was realizing how revolutionary the Sermon on the Mount really was and is in our lives, you know, because basically Jesus told us not just do your duty, which I think is what so often as Christians we think, okay, this is my duty, these are the rules, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I also need to enforce the rules in everyone else's life. But the Sermon on the Mount did not say do your duty. It in effect said do what is not your duty, you know, go the second mile, turn the other cheek. It was this radical, authentic lifestyle that Jesus was talking about. He said, don't just, you know, do what you have to do to fulfill a law or to follow a rule, but do more than that. You know, figure out how to be creative and extravagantly loving people, you know, the same way that God loves us, the way that you're loved yourself by God. So we look for that in our own lives, and it's very simple in one way because, you know, we can kind of complicate things and put them at arm's length. And I think sometimes we do that maybe because it seems spiritual. For instance, I'm going to go out and change the world. But the reality is that actually you can't skip over your family to change the world. You know, we found in our personal lives that you can't do that, that whoever God has put under that same roof with you are automatically the people that you start with. And so we can tell our children or tell our people, well, this is how we're supposed to love our husbands and wives. This is how we're supposed to lead or love our children. But so often the things that we teach our kids are caught more than taught. They catch those things that by the way we act and not just by what we say. And so really living out the fruits of the Spirit, for instance, in our own homes, actually being patient and kind and loving and forgiving and controlling ourselves in front of our own family, starting with them, it's very simple, but it can also be very costly. And one of the ways it costs the most, really, is just it costs in just our personal comfort. Yeah. Actually, the truth is, I don't really always feel like being really loving all the time to the people in my life. It's much more self-serving sometimes to say, you know what, I'm tired today. I feel like just doing what I want to do. I don't feel like acting in a loving way. I don't feel like turning the other cheek or going the second mile. I just feel like enforcing what I want right here. And actually living that out in our lives is, I think, almost in every example, the cost comes along with the simplicity. It's simpler than we think, and it's costlier than we can imagine. But the effects are so exponentially greater than we can ever dream of that it makes it worth it. This is what life is like, just really being the message and allowing the message not to be words that we pass back and forth, but to actually let our lives be the very message of Christ.
Wow, Chris, so well put. It's like every opportunity we're given to die to ourselves, we ought to take it because then life springs forth. And Carrie, wondering if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's just, you know, the scripture tells us we got to die to ourselves so that, you know, he can come alive in us. We have to decrease so that he can increase. And one of the costly things, I think, for us, but yet it's just been so rewarding and refreshing is just dropping the guard a little bit and revealing, admitting our struggles and our weaknesses and before our congregation, you know, before our kids and then talking about how God's working in our lives. I remember A few years ago, I was preaching, Susie, and I just started getting dizzy, and I didn't know what was going on, and I felt like I was about to faint. And I told the people, I'm feeling like I'm about to faint, so I'm going to go sit down. And a few people kind of laughed because we do, you know, a lot of creative things at Woodlands Church, and have
so they,
you know,
take
things to grab people, you know.
Yeah.
So I think some of them thought I was just kidding around or something. It's like, you know, look at what's going to happen next. They've got some video or something they're going to do, you know. And I know I'm really, you know, feeling like I'm about to faint. So I sat down and I thought, well, maybe I've just got a cold or something. But then, and Chris helped me out at the next service. We stood up there together and preached it together. And then, and I went to the doctor, did all these tests. They couldn't find anything. They said, you know, you're physically fine. And then the next week I started to preach, and the same thing started happening. And I remember holding on to the pulpit real tight, and I preached, and God just worked. And then I went back and got some more tests done, and they couldn't find anything. And it was about 6 months, Susie, that I would preach and feel dizzy every time. And
wow.
I would just, you know, and then finally a friend of mine said, oh, Carrie, you're having classic panic attacks. And I said, oh, no, no. I have so much faith in the Lord, and I'm not worried. I'm not stressed. You know, I trust the Lord. This is a physical thing. This isn't an emotional or worry or anything like that. And they go, oh, well, of course. You know, panic attacks are just, you know, the way your body reacts and sends out too much adrenaline and all these things. And, you know, and so I said, no, it's not, you know, this isn't a spiritual thing. Well, I'm not, and they're saying, I'm not talking about a spiritual thing. But anyway, I finally just had to admit that's what it was, and went to a Christian, you know, psychologist, and started, you know, working on it and getting treatment for it, and you know, it just, you know, changed everything. And I shared this with the church, and when I shared this, you could have heard a pin drop, you know, because and afterwards people came up to me and go, oh, Carrie, that encouraged me so much. I've been really struggling with depression, or I've been struggling with anxiety attacks. I've been struggling with, you know, and how you talked about how you've been, this weakness has helped you turn to the Lord so much more, you know, and that really encourages us. And I think that, you know, we as pastors go through all the same struggles and pains and problems and sins everyone else does, but a lot of times we don't admit it. And in doing that, we don't point people to Christ's power, you know, because all they do is look and say, oh, well, I can't be like him. I can't be like her. They've got it all together. Instead of saying, you know what, I don't. I'm just like you. I'm broken just like you, but I'm looking to the one who's making me whole. And that points people to Jesus. They see Jesus in us. So you can impress people by talking about your successes, but you influence people when you admit your weaknesses.
That right there is tweetable. I'm sorry. Even though we're talking about minimizing tweets and Facebooks.
Yeah, right. We have tweets
one.
All through the book.
Every chapter, we
give people a tweet you can tweet out.
We got to tweet
the
this one.
The point we hope is that we'll seek to live it.
Amen. So you can impress people by your strengths, but you can influence. What did you say? Oh, man, I want to remember it. What did you just say?
Yeah, you can impress people by talking about your strengths. I mean, that's people get impressed, but you influence people when you admit your weaknesses.
Wow, I love this. Great conversation.
Chris and I want to influence people.
Amen. So do we. Talking to Carrie and Chris Shook, their book is Be the Message. I really am stunned at how quiet you are. I'm thinking you're all sitting at the edge of your seat not wanting to miss a word, because I hear from you normally. Got a few copies of this book to give away. 877-933-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We're blessed to hear the stories.
God just has walked us miracle after miracle.
They're stories of God at work, and we're humbled when He uses something heard on Faith Radio to reach you where you're at.
I'm just so blessed by all your speakers. I just want to thank you for all that you provide.
Have you been impacted by what you've heard on Faith Radio? Would you share your story with us? Call our Faith Line to pass on your story today. It's 8...
8 Message means understanding that once you're a Christian, you are an ambassador for Christ. So it's not just about living your own life and doing what you want anymore. It's about sharing your faith and living and leading by example, as well as sharing the gospel with your words. You choose to bless the name. It's a little stone, it's a little water, that's a little seed, that's a little water in the hearts of the sons and daughters. This kingdom's coming. I love that song by my friend Sarah Groves. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson, having a great conversation with Carrie and Chris Shook. Now I see those phone calls coming in. Been missing you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We've got Peggy calling in from Detroit Lakes. Peggy, welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks, Susie. I appreciate your time and I appreciate the program.
Good.
I'll try to be the icebreaker here.
Yes, you go for it.
Carrie and Chris, seriously, this is just such a huge honor for me. I just love your books, your ministry. I've listened for a very long time, and I have many of your materials. One of them is the 30 Days to Live, and in the book, I've done some speeches, actually, with Toastmasters and that kind of thing regarding the dash between your birth and death on your gravestone, and to really reflect on that. It really had a profound impact on me. And I was wondering, in the new book that you've got out, and I apologize, I don't have that yet, but how do you go about dealing with the guilt of I really, really have the energy and I want to do the dash thing and touch other people and make an impact and leave a legacy, but I don't have I feel guilty if I take the time out to go ahead and try to get together with the Lord. It's like, okay, come on, Lord, let's hurry up.
Mm-hmm. First of all...
Hey, we can relate. Yeah. Let me just say that.
Peggy, you're going to get a copy of Be the Message, but go ahead, Carrie, why don't you jump in and answer Peggy?
Thank you.
No, thank you so much, Peggy. We really appreciate that encouragement. And yeah, we think that Be the Message is really kind of the follow-up to One Month to Live. And one of the main ways that for Chris and I have tried to get out of that guilt, because you can get stuck in that cycle of guilt. I know what I should do. I'm just not doing it. And one of the things that God really impressed upon our hearts is he can take our mess and turn it into our message. He can take our weakness and turn it into his strength. And I think that, you know, it's not so much, Peggy, about going out and doing some big, great thing for God that will last forever. Sometimes we get caught up in that. But really, it comes down to, and God never asks us to do anything big and great for him. He just asks us to take little steps of obedience so he can do something big and great in us. Mm. And so that kind of takes the pressure off, is that, Lord, you know, I don't have to do something big and great in the dash to avoid regrets. All I really need to do is just obey you one little step at a time. And I don't always do that, but you can even take the mistakes I make and you can turn them into a miracle somehow in some way. And so it really gets back to, how do you live that dash between your birth date and that year that you'll go to be with the Lord? And it comes down to, it's really all about loving Jesus and letting Jesus love through us. And we try to really simplify it, but it's very profound.
Mm, so good. And, you know, guilt is that gift that keeps on giving. I tell you what, you know,
we
are so driven by guilt. Some feel guilty for spending time with God, and some feel guilty for not. Like Peggy was saying, you know, I feel guilty because I should be out doing. But we really can't impart what we don't possess, and we all need to be connected to the vine. I want to make sure we get all these calls in before we have to say goodbye. Melissa's calling in from Brooklyn Park. By the way, Peggy, thanks for that call. You're going to get a copy of the book. Melissa, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
We're good.
I just want to just let you guys know how much I appreciate this message. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to Susie for years, and actually just recently started watching the Carrie Shook Ministries on television a few months ago, mm-hmm. and this is so speaking to me, just the idea that who we are and how we live is way more important than the things we get, or even, you know, how we, our message is not necessarily what we say on a verbal scale. It's so much more about how we treat people who we are, what we do for people, the little things. And I just, you know, want you guys to know how much I appreciate that.
Melissa, thank you for your
call. Thanks for your encouragement, Melissa. That means so much to us. And we're still learning. We're learning along the way. We're just thankful to have this community of believers that we can have conversations like this and really talk about how God wants to use our lives to be his message.
Yeah. Melissa, so glad to have you listening. Glad you found the Shooks ministry as well, and you get a copy of the book. You're going to love it. We got time for probably one more call, maybe two, 877-933-2484. We've got Karina calling in from Louisiana. Karina, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey Susie.
Hey, darling.
Hey,
how are you?
Good. Hey, Pastor Carrie. Hey, Pastor Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I am a friend of Greg
and Janice. Your
neighbor. Yes, I'm a friend of Greg and Janice, and they've always spoken so highly of y'all's life and y'all's leadership, and this whole episode is rocking my world because I work in a small office staff of all women, and literally they say that they're Christians, but if they wouldn't have said that, by their lifestyle, by their words, by their attitudes, by their, you know, just demeanor, I would never know that they're Christians.
So what's God saying to you,
Karina?
Yeah,
I think
that, I mean, actions speak louder than words, you know, to really just live a life that portrays Jesus.
You want to say anything, Chris?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. Great point. I would just say that, you know, that God has you there in that office for a couple of reasons. First, to open your eyes to the fact that, wow, this is, you know, this is what they're portraying. So I want to portray something different in, you know, the world that I live in. And, it, you know, and God's already doing that. But then also he has you there for them, you know, to minister to them. And then he has you there, maybe three reasons. Maybe they're going to be holy sandpaper for you to rub off some of the rough edges in your life. He's
I
got
love
some holy,
holy
sandpaper,
sandpaper
people in my life. You know.
Amen. So. Karina, thanks for that call. An old pastor, mentor of one of my pastor friends said that the Lord will either bless you or afflict you with people according to your need. I think that's
right. Good point.
Well, I just have time for one more question before we ask you to pray. And Chris, I'll direct this to you. You say, if you're a believer, God is at work transforming your life. If you're not a believer, he's at work leading you to himself. Either way, he's writing a message on your life. And I would love for you, Chris, to speak to that person listening, maybe who up till now knows about God but hasn't had a personal relationship with Jesus because they're afraid of the whole religion thing and just how it's been portrayed in our media. What can you say to that person that God is in pursuit of them?
I think that God is chasing each one of us. He is actively pursuing us because he loves us. And I think it's important to realize that motivation that God has. Sometimes I've talked to people who have maybe aren't walking with the Lord, and they imagine God as someone angry coming after them, that God is after them, wanting to hurt them or wanting to make their life tough. And then I've encountered people who think of God as just a benevolent grandfather in the sky who just, you know, doesn't really have much power or influence either way, but he's just there. And it's so apparent. So when you open the Bible and you actually begin reading for yourself instead of just absorbing other people's perceptions of what they think God is like, I would challenge anyone who maybe isn't a believer right now, or maybe someone who is, grew up in church all their lives, but have heard many sermons, but have never really encountered God firsthand for themselves. I just challenge you to open God's Word and begin reading. And you'll see the inescapable truth that we have a passionate, powerful God who is creative and radical and loves you more than you could ever dream of. And the things that he allows, as you said, those people he allows in our lives to bless us or afflict us, that he has a great purpose in that. And well, you see time and time again, I'm so thankful the Bible isn't just full of pretty stories, but has real people who had troubles and afflictions themselves. You know, Jacob was a cheater and Peter denied Christ. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran away from God. Miriam was a gossip. Martha was a worrier. On and on. There's so many real people in the Bible, real stories that I can identify with. And I realized how God used them in their lives. He used their lives and the lives of others. And I realized that I want my life, you know, more than anything else, to be his message, to actually be a message of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so I just encourage you to challenge you to try that out for yourself. Read God's word and just see how it changes you.
Well, you too. I pray that you'll come back, because I've got about a handful of more pages of notes from your book that we've not even touched on. Such an important message. I want to thank you for all that you're both doing for the kingdom today. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're so welcome. And people can go to bethemessage.org for more information. Mm. But we'd love to be back with you soon.
Love that. God bless you. Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of both hours up on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Well, we're starting our share event tomorrow. Excited about that. Just to cast a vision for where God is taking us and celebrate for where God has led us and all he's done. Couldn't do this without you, and we absolutely wouldn't want to. Remember to check out our website. We've got lots of blog posts there that'll encourage you in your faith, myfaithradio.com. And I'll leave you with this. You hear it every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.